Moncrief on News Talk.
It sounds gross, even though the symptoms aren't that bad. In Ireland, there's been a marked increase in oral gonorrhea. Dr. Aisling Loy is a consultant in St. James's Hospital. Afternoon, Aisling.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Is there a difference between oral gonorrhea and the kind of standard variety?
The only difference is the location. So it's the same disease, the same bacteria. It's just location. So before, when we do standard STI testing, generally in heterosexuals, we tend to not look in the throat unless there's very, very good reason. We tend to just do for gentlemen urine test, and for females then a vaginal swab. And we don't tend to swab the oropharynx. But there was a study published in April where they looked at all Ireland, so north and south, and there was home testing kits sent out to the younger population. So this was 17 to 24. So these are people who went online and ordered. They weren't just sent to them. They actually wanted these test kits. And when they were sent out, rather than just sending the standard test kit of what I just explained, they also added in the oral test where they self-swabbed the throat like a COVID swab. And when that came back, they found that 2% of those 7,000 tested had oral gonorrhea that wouldn't have been picked up standardly in testing. So that came at about 140 people were going around with an STI in their throats that wouldn't have realised it. Now, this is in the young population. You wouldn't see as many in the older, over 25. It tends to be under 25.
So it's quite likely that even people listening to us could have oral gonorrhea but aren't aware of it.
Exactly. So it's not routinely tested for. Nor do we want to routinely screen for it. So when we get studies like this, we have to weigh up the pros and cons of doing more testing, the resource implications, the implication of testing something treating something that may not be causing an issue, antimicrobial resistance. And also, this could be an infection that could go away by itself. So you don't want to over medicinalize sex and stigmatize it and create more anxiety whenever there's plenty of health anxiety going around. Yes. There, especially in this area. So we have to be careful. We want to do the right thing, but you do it correctly with evidence and for good reasons.
Yeah. Now, so it could, if someone has contracted it, it could just clear up of its own accord.
Like any infection. So not all infections. So you could have a chest infection and not necessarily need antibiotics, and your own immune system will clear it. We don't recommend that. We recommend getting, go and see a specialist and see about getting treatment if you are diagnosed and not sort of wing it. Mm. But, if we're looking at the population as a whole, those that aren't screening and treating, there are some of those infections that will clear up. But if we detect them, we recommend getting proper treatment for it.
Having said that, though, I mean, and the symptoms would be a bit of a sore throat. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Largely speaking, absolutely no symptoms. So, for example, I had a gentleman recently who had symptoms because he had received oral sex from his girlfriend, but the girlfriend tested negative, and he was so perplexed at this. He could not understand how she tested negative and he had acquired gonorrhea. So I was explaining that she wouldn't have been tested in her throat. So in that instance, if that partner came in to me, I would then be doing throat testing on her. The only way she found out is because her partner developed symptoms.
So it can be contracted through oral sex. Can it be contracted through kissing?
It can. There's limited evidence in this. So this is largely modelling work done out of Melbourne in Australia in 2017. And they showed that, yes, you can, from deep kissing, French kissing and all of that. It's rare, but it's possible. And it lives in saliva for short periods of time, so people can pass it on with deep kissing.
Mm. So is there a perception that, because you cited that instance of the man who was baffled as to how he contracted it, there's a perception perhaps that as long as you don't have penetrative sex, you're safe from not just from gonorrhea, but from all STIs.
Absolutely. So we'll always ask, have you had any unprotected oral sex? And most people don't use barrier contraception for oral sex because they perceive it as a safe means of being intimate with someone. However, you can pass on things like syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, hepatitis through bodily fluid exchange. So it is a way of contracting STI. So we always ask that because people say, oh, no, I'm fine. I don't need that testing done. I've always used a condom. Mm. But then we ask the deeper question of, well, has that been for oral sex as well? And they go, gosh, no, she wouldn't need it for that.
So, yeah. And while the incidents, I mean, I suppose it's interesting that there's a rise in oral gonorrhea, it's probably not the main STI that you'd be concerned about.
No, I mean, it's interesting in that we worry about things that have longer term implications. So I guess for us, it's the worry, is this going to drive an increase in genital gonorrhea, and in particular for young females, because it can lead to fertility issues down the line. So we're thinking about that, the long term consequences of having an untreated reservoir in our young population. Will this impact young women's fertility when maybe at the moment they're not thinking about that, but maybe in 10 years' time they'll struggle to conceive because there's been this reservoir we haven't treated.
Is genital gonorrhea more serious than the oral variety?
Yes. Yeah. For health implications. And for young men, they can have things like epididymorchitis, where it goes down into the testes and they can get very swollen, very painful, long-lasting chronic pelvic pain syndrome. So it's a nasty thing to get, but it's very treatable if treated right. And the main thing is to treat it right. There's lots of resistance and supergonorrhea you'll hear about. We thankfully don't have that yet in Ireland, but we monitor closely for it. So it's important if you get diagnosed to get proper treatment, and the treatment's an injection. So you have to attend an actual gum clinic for the treatment.
Gum as in not in gums, yeah, of the mouth.
Yeah, no, so people get confused about it. Yeah. So I'm a gum consultant, which is genitourinary medicine. If you say that in the UK, people understand straight away what you mean. But in Ireland, we've been a bit in the dark.
I need a dentist for this.
Yeah, no.
That is confusing. And super gonorrhea, I assume this would be a strain of gonorrhea that's more resistant
more
to
resistant,
antibiotics.
So in my time of working in genitourinary medicine, we've had to change our treatment of gonorrhea maybe 7 times because it keeps mutating and becoming resistant. So we have to keep monitoring it and looking at what drugs are working, what drugs aren't working. And currently the treatment is 1 gram of ceftriaxone intramuscularly. So it's a once-off treatment, but it has to be. People can buy drugs on the internet now and things like that. And you drive up resistance if you do things like that.
Aisling, thanks very much for coming in to talk
no
to
problem.
Us today. That was Dr. Aisling Loy there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.